in a beautiful place in Palm Beach, and he died fairly soon after I became acquainted with him, and I did become sort of a son to Mrs. Noble. She had no family of her own, and I used to visit her in Palm Beach, and play bridge by this beautiful saltwater pool. She had the most magnificent flowers. It was a regular paradise. And she was a very interesting woman. She always made me remember the cartoons of the little king. She was like a little queen. She just buzzed around. She never really made many friends. She was shy and sensitive. And one of the interesting things that she and her husband had established is called the Blue Horizon Health and Welfare Trust, the income from which is to pay hospital and doctor's bills for poor people. And I became co-trustee with her of that. And I always had a tough time with her because she had no patience with poor people. She didn't understand why they didn't get to work and try to get rich the way she was.
Well, I know she was quite a lady, and Noble Horizon certainly is quite a tribute to her. There's so many people up there, and they all say they enjoy it so much.
Well, I think really...
Stop here. And now that if we can continue, Tom, on, and I would like to ask you if you knew what was the town like when you first came here?
Well, I was adopted by my aunt and her husband. And I think I was living in some place like Chicago or maybe Baltimore at the time, and I can recall so well being picked up by the Wagners in New York City and then taking a train on the Harlem Division from the Grand Central Terminal to Millard, New York. And in those days, there was a special car on the train for people who were going to transfer to the Central New England Railroad. So when we got to Millerton, this car was shoved off onto a siding, and then a train on the Central New England picked us up, and we rode that from Millerton to Lakeville, to the little railroad station, which is now the town's welfare building. And this was really before there were any, I guess there may have been three or four cars in town. But we were met at the station by one of my family's employees. And he was driving a buckboard with two horses. And we drove out Route 44 to this place where I was, in part of which I still live. And I can remember, of course, the road wasn't paved, and the mud was, this must have been in March or something, the mud was 2 or 3 feet deep, not rutted by cars because there weren't any, and if there had been, they couldn't move in this time of year, and it was just a mess. And we used to go to church on Sundays with these two horses and a big black carriage with grass lamps on the sides. And when we did finally first get a car, no one in the family could drive, so we had to have a chauffeur. And there was almost no place you could drive because there weren't any roads. I think that our favorite, we used to call it the motoring. We used to like to go out motoring, as
How fast did the cars go?
I don't know, 15 or 20 miles an hour.
The speed limit was...
I don't think they had any speed limit. They hadn't even given any thought to it yet. But the Intermountain Road was one of the first roads, I think, to be paved at all. And we used to love to ride out there. And then once a year, we always drove over to Hartford, to Elizabeth Park, to see the roses. And the cars, two or three times, I remember our car catching on fire going up Avon Mountain. And even Smith Hill, we sometimes had to get out and push. And of course, the tires were no good. We couldn't go anywhere without having two or three flat tires. And it was really quite an experience. And most of the cars were open touring cars in those days. Dr. Bissell had one of the original Model T Fords, I guess, that he used to buzz around in with a black bag. And I think we were the first people in town to have electricity because there was a gas company that had some kind of a monopoly on providing light to the town. And when the electricity was brought to our house, the lines that carried it had to go around the outside of the town somehow to get to our house. And everyone in those days used to say that electricity was no good because it flickered so you couldn't read by it, which turned out not to be true.
Well, that's interesting, and I think that that is what we would be interested in, how the town was in the early days. And I certainly remember the trains, the CNE, and I remember the cars. Mr. Peabody, who had the Lenatsco house, had a car that he used to drive, and then the Barnums in Lime Rock and the Greenwoods that lived up the Intermountain Road. And the Scholes also had a car, one of the first cars. Well, is there anything else that you'd like to relate?
I remember the first automobile accident in which I was involved. I guess I was probably 7 or 8 years old, and we were out, as I say, just touring and riding for the fun of it. And it was on the back road from Fisher's Pond to Tacoma. And it was just a dirt road and full of great big ledges of stone and whatnot. And as we came puffing through that road, we came up behind a horse and wagon with a gypsy running in it. And her horse took fright from our car and tried to run away and tipped her wagon over, and we all ended in a lawsuit. The car automobile insurance had just been invented, really, and suits in millions of dollars, as we know them today, were absolutely unknown. And I remember being coached by a lawyer as to what I should and should not say when we got into court. But I think we were insured with the Travelers, and they settled the case for a few $100.
That's very interesting. Now, you are still connected with your law firm of Reed and Riga.
Well, that's really not my law firm. When I decided that it was time for me to give up full time, I sought out a firm in Hartford that I knew the best and asked them if they would like to just simply take over my practice, which they did. And I'm not a member of the, it's a legal corporation, which is sort of a new idea of this business of incorporating professionals like doctors and lawyers and architects and engineers, but that's what they are. And I didn't want to buy any stock and become a really a member of the corporation. So I'm something called counsel. I still think I do more work in the local office than all the rest of them put together, but I can stay home if I'm at home.
Well, that's very nice, and I'm sure you do more work than any lawyer in town with your reputation. And I know as town clerk, I remember when deeds came up from your office, when you drew up a deed, it was really done very well. And it was not, it was in good form, and it was very good.
Well, I learned my lesson about that from Howard Landon.
Well, he was very...
Well, to this day, I have not discovered a mistake that he made.
Me?
He.
Oh, he, yeah.
Well,
yeah.
No, I know he was very strict
about
that. Yeah, very thorough.
And very thorough and very strict. Mm-hmm. And, well, I think our tape has nearly run out, and it's really been quite a pleasure to talk with you and visit with you. And
at least sometime we could do it without the intervention of the tape.
Well,
we'd have more fun.
It's really been very interesting, and I'm sure that they will appreciate this and what you've told us about the town and your jobs and everything. And I'd like to thank you, and we'll...